say we'll shoot for a couple.
All right. Sure. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Over Sharon show. And Sharon's going to shoot for a couple of what, I wonder. Anyway, you'll never know. I hit record, I guess, a little prematurely, but it's all right because this is the best darn show on the internet. We got one of the best darn guests that we could with another really great show on the internet. So we're excited about that. But before we get into that, I'm going to read the quote, which is from Rumi again. I think I might have quoted him last time or the time before. But anyway, I follow an account on Instagram and it's amazing. So that's why I'm using all these quotes. So you guys should check it out too. But anyway, it's I asked, why have I received only this? A voice replied, only this will lead you to that. Ooh.
Ooh, that's very interesting.
Yes, I love it because a lot of times people despair about things. And they're like, why did this have to happen? But then something good comes out of it. And it kind of encapsulate that really well.
Dude, that's like really synced with like stuff that's been going on that I've been seeing, you know, these days. All right. I'm pulling from the Thoth deck.
Do it.
Feared Aleister Crowley's deck. Just kidding. Holy smokes, dude. Is this Three of Cups? Abundance?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. That's amazing. What a synchronicity.
Dude, totally. What does that mean for me?
Well, there's three of us. So cups represent, you know, like emotions and that whole realm of love and anything, you know, water related, I guess you could say. So like cancer, so all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then three is the Trinity. It's really the beginning of creation, because like we were saying before we started recording, because I was talking about my sexist jokes, I'm such a misogynist, but you have the masculine and the feminine and you have a nice balance, and then out of that comes the next step. It's like Jesus, right? Or the fire, the creation. So
yes, I would say
there's three of us too, so that's an amazing synchronicity. Turn the card upside down, Sharon, because the way it's recording on the screen, yeah, now it matches, right? Look at that. That's what I like about the cards, because you could get meanings out of both sides of them.
And in like the traditional Rider-Waite, isn't it also like, isn't there, there are three girls like raising cups or something and like dancing. Toasting, yeah. And dancing. So it's like also community and tribe and like friendship
and celebration. And
Yeah.
Think about a birth, like what happens around a birth. It's the same concept. A mother and father come together to give birth to the third.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like that's kind of the whole concept and the end game in this is, you know, create life. And that's what, like me and my future wife, we're not actually married yet. We're kind of doing it backwards. We had children first. but it doesn't matter.
It's just, right. It's the same thing. You're with her.
Right. Like, we have three beautiful woman, boys together. Right.
And we're not worried. We're getting
married March 17th. I proposed to her 2 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
About damn time.
Yeah. Right.
You're
right.
Already married to her.
You want to know something? It's so funny because my 10-year-old, he recorded the situation. He knew it was coming. And while I was doing it, my 6-year-old the whole time was saying, but you're already married.
He's right.
I know. He is absolutely right. And I didn't, you know, to me, it was like, why get the government involved? But she wants my last name and I'll give her that. Dude. So we'll do
that. Listen, we're going to get into what this realm is. It's all what you make of it. And
want to. But I wanted to say that about the family thing. I feel like that's what we're doing here. You know, I was all over the place for many years until I started my journey, right? Got, you know, sobered up off these hardcore drugs, blah, 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 me and my wife. And we're here creating this beautiful life here. We're homeschooling our three boys. And when I think of the Trinity, that's what I think of, you know, is our dynamic that we have here, father, mother, son. And then there's three children. We all named them. Their names are begin with the letter G, 777. I've been like creating this little thing over here, you know, and it's just beautiful. I like that card that you pulled. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it totally represents that, man. I love that message. It's such a great message for people to hear.
Are you pulling a card too, B?
Yeah.
Deck is that?
It's the Angel deck. So it's got this gold. I'm trying to make. Oh, look at that. Look at the shine, baby. My gold. I like to grab it in my hands.
Are you pulling from the Angel card because Owen was streaming about angels?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't even think about that. What a synchronicity, though, but maybe. Oh, my God. I got the Four of Cups.
What?
3-4. There's your seven.
Wow, Austin. Dude.
True. I like
Holy
that.
Holy smokes.
Let me do this. Let me, for the viewers at home, for our lovely oversharing.
Oh, I like that.
I'll change the view. Oh, sorry. My mouse is really... Yeah, it's a cool card, definitely. Now I just got to pin myself. So the Four of Cups, man, it's great because it's like the next step. And right here really encapsulates what you're talking about. It's kind of like you manifested this card with what you're talking about because it's what happens after you. This is establishing a foundation in there, right? So this is great also for marriage, too, because four is a solid foundation. It's an even number. And you could see how the angel, the baby angel with no dick. There we go, Owen. See, the baby angel is taking this cup to the woman and she's looking at the other three. So she kind of doesn't see what's right there. You know, like she's despairing maybe about something. But no, it's a great card, though. Four of Cups, and I'm trying.
There's this joke that I've seen. I just got to interrupt because, you know, you're a comedian. Yeah, you'll get it. And it was this, you know, a TikTok comedian guy, and he was playing two people. He's like, it was the Vatican and Michelangelo. And
oh, yeah, I saw that.
You seen that one? He's like, hey, Michael, we want you to do some work for us over here on the churches. We got an idea of put some angels up on the wall. And then Michael's like, oh, yeah, like the ones depicted in the Bible with all the eyeballs and, you know, on the feathers. And he's like, and the Vatican's like, nah, bro, we're talking about like, young kids, you know, and they're like, oh, what do you want them wearing? He's like, nothing, naked. We want them naked, you know, naked.
Oh, bulk. My.
And it was like, crazy, like a fig leaf. Bro. He's like a fig leaf. He's like, naked.
Oh, man.
Bro, I was dying. I'm sorry. It was just comical to me because it's so obvious.
You know? Have you been watching any of the stuff Owen's talking about lately?
I can never watch the whole thing because he goes for a long time. I'm always back and forth, so I've probably missed it, but I do. Yes, I follow him and I'm
well, he's talking about that exact thing. I was actually just listening. He talked about it yesterday, but he's talking about it again today. And, I had a meeting earlier, but I had about a half an hour to listen. So as I was doing stuff, getting ready, I was listening and that's all he was talking about. He's like, you're defending pedophilia. He's like, how dare you? And he's like Googling different churches to see the art. It was so funny. So he's like, he goes, okay, you're whatever, like say Pentecostals. He's like, oh, you're great. You have some great art. He's like, Catholics? No. He's like,
the conversation came up over here because I've seen that one. Right. And then my wife, she's been going yard sale shopping and she found this cute painting of the two angels, like sitting like this on a ledge. You can't see anything. You just see their faces and their hands. And she put that up over our bed. Go along with everything else she's putting up, and then I brought up that joke to her, and then she's like, you know what, I don't even really want it up there anymore now.
Well, you know what, you can also tell her this, just tell her to look it up, the full image of what that's from, because do you know what they're laying their heads on?
No.
A casket.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh no. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, a lot of people
is
don't.
It Michelangelo's?
I don't know that, actually. I don't think so. I think it was newer.
I can't wait to tell her that.
Yeah, tell her, because it's a really fun bit of trivia, because they always show those angels. And one time I saw a picture, and I'm like, why does that look familiar? And I was like, oh, my God, those are those angels. They have their head on a casket. It changes the whole, you know, one's like, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
That's a good place to go with the show, actually.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. Caskets. Yeah. Life after death, perhaps. But
maybe we should ask Austin, like, what he's been up to really quickly and, like, what else is going on? Because there's probably can grab stuff out of that, too.
Well, that's really the kind of questions I ask over on the Melodome. You know, who are we? What are we? Where are we? Where do we go after this? Is there an after this? What is all this? You know, it's these other questions. I'm not. just trying to figure things out, you know?
Yeah. I remember you posting something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we all have like lost loved ones. Right. And my two parents, they're already gone. They medical establishment, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. You know, my mom, my dad's birthday was December 12th. And, you know, I go for a walk and I rolled something up. You know, my daddy was a pothead. That's what we did together. You know, family events, it's just what we did, you know. And his nickname was Wahoo. He was a hippie from the 70s, from that whole programming. But I just miss him. And, you know, I'm going for a walk, putting one in the air, thinking about him, thinking about all these memories. And I always go back to thinking about all of these souls that all of us that we've all lost. We've all lost somebody. And throughout time, throughout all of history, all of these souls that are gone, where, if that's a thing, if a soul is a thing, where are they? Where is there a whole nother place to house all of these souls that are no longer within this realm using their vessels that have now expired? Or are they filtered back in here? Or is that even a thing, right? All of these questions still ponder, even all the information I've been gathering and looking at, and in getting other people's perspectives and ideas. And, you know, because a lot of this to me can be speculation, and some people get scared of all that. And like, I made a comment the other day that, you know, what if you were to believe in some type of creator, but also believe that this is all there is, that there is nothing else after that. And what I mean is, like, my name is Austin. That was a name given to me when I was brought into this realm. And growing up through all the different kinds of things that I was absorbed to, people would also say programmed to, which I think everything is a sense of programming, and, you know, want to go that route. But just everything that conditioned me to be who I am today, my trials, tribulations, blah, 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 all that. Now my family, my loved ones, the ones I care about, the ones that give me purpose, that all creates who I am now. When that flesh dies, when Austin is no longer, like, am I still Austin that still is conscious and aware that he has children and a wife that he, and a whole life that he just left, and he's now at this other place? Like, I think, when I'm thinking about my dad on that walk, I'm thinking, is my dad still thinking he's Bill? Still thinking he's Wahoo? And is he in this other place looking for his wife, Linda, who died a few years before him? Like, because if I were to go to, you know, we grew up and we were told the church and lifestyle that, oh, you live a good life and you go to heaven, the pearly gates, live eternal life there. If I was brought to another place, say, boom, I get taken out. Now I'm at the pearly gates and I'm in there. It's beautiful. It's all made of gold here, you know, rest in eternity forever. Right. But I'm still Austin, and yo, my children aren't here. Actually, they're at that place I just left without my guidance, without me being there. Nah, bro, send me back. How do I go back? No, no rest in peace for me. No. So how much of that goes with us? And I know I'm going on with a lot, but could you obtain some of that with, let's say, working out? Like, you go to the gym, you work out that muscle. What if you work out that soul muscle or memory muscle type of thing, like how monks meditate, you know, and maybe they can take pieces of them net to the next life. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. But all those questions haunt me. Let's just put it that way. Well, and I love talking about it. And that's what we've been talking about over on the Mellow Dome. I've been doing a call-in show called the Critical Thinking Smoke Sesh. And usually that's where the topic leads to. Where are we? What are we? What's next? And that kind of stuff.
So I just want to say that there are lots of things that you made me think of as you're talking about this. Especially when it comes to other people's experiences in these types of discussions. So we have, like, the topic, for example, of near-death experiences, mm-hmm. right? And people experiencing almost dying or even dying, right? Their heart completely stops beating. They experience going somewhere else and being there for however long. And it may have been like here, it may have been 30 minutes, but for them, it felt like a very long time or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they come back because for whatever reason, the doctors brought them back or they just came back for whatever reason. And then they live to tell that story. And some of them say like, oh, I saw my dad and he told me, hey, don't worry. Like everything's great. You, it's not your time yet to stay here, go back. And I love you, of you know, even if there was like some sort of like disagreement they had before they passed, before that person passed. And let's say the son was like, I didn't feel like I said goodbye right. I feel like right. I didn't mend things with my dad. And then the dad, he sees his dad in his near-death experience. And his dad's like, you're fine. Everything's great. I love you. I always did. And it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You need to go back though. Like it's not your time to come here yet. And so right. they go back, but then they have this like this sense of peace, like it's okay, like everything's going to be okay. And there's nothing really to worry about because wherever that next place is that I'm going is peace. There's no like thinking about what's going on with everyone else in the realm because everything's happening as it should, right? And then you have other things like children, babies that are born. Right. And then by the time they can talk, they're telling their parents, like this happened. I just watched something, a little clip of something like that, that of someone that this happened to in India. And this little girl, as soon as she could talk, she was telling her parents, like, I died some years ago and I left a husband and a newborn son because I died in childbirth. And her parents are like, okay, this is interesting. But they, for like a couple of years, they were just like, didn't know what to think about it. And finally mm-hmm. they were like, okay, we're going to do an investigation. We're just going to go to that city that she's talking about, which was only several miles away. And like, and the way she had described the city, the way she had like talked about the family members, and when they finally took her there, she described the gates of the city exactly as they were. And then they took her finally to the place where her late husband, or sorry, her widower, right, was still living with the son. This was like the son. She was now like, because she was born like around the same time as her son, like a little bit later, right? Because she came after her son lived and she died, she came back into another family in a nearby mm-hmm. village, right? And so she was just a little bit younger than her son in the past, in the previous, her previous lifetime. So she, they go to the town, they see the, her husband, her, she's only like what, 9 or 10 years old. And her husband is like, you know, this older man. And she recognized him. And then they brought the boy and she's like, that's my son. And he recognized her. And he just said that it was her spirit. It was something like that, that he just could recognize that that was her or
so
something.
She was 9 years old and still could remember a past life.
Yes. Her previous life.
Because I've heard of a bunch of different stories in rare cases like that. I've heard a story of a girl who was very young. I couldn't tell you how old. She was old enough to have a conversation with her parents. And she was telling her parents that before she came here, that she was being told by her uncle or a dead relative. I'm not, maybe they were saying it was the creator talking to her, but she was saying that this person was telling her that that they were giving her to this couple because this couple lost a baby. They're saying that your older sister died and now she's with us, so we're going to give you to them. And she was explaining that to her parents and they never told her that they had a third trimester miscarriage before they had her. Like they already tried having a baby, lost the baby. And then their second child was telling them like, oh, I was told that I was given to you because of my older sister. You guys lost her and that she had to go back home. They needed her. So they gave me you or they gave me to you, you know. And that was, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stories like that. Part of me, I mean, like no one can tell us where memories come from in our brain, right? like they can say that, but no one, like, we can't like pull out a memory out of our head and say, look, it's this, like, there's no material thing. So, you know, that's why I think there's some kind of ether thing going on here. Like when you were talking about like the, that person seeing his father in the afterlife, right? Like, what if that is, you know, the trauma from that man, like, you know, some type of DMT release or something. And that is just manifested by him. That was him manifesting. Like that was his soul or his way of trying to come to terms within this etheric realm. It wasn't really his father talking to him. It was just him, you know, because if that's the case, then that means his father is still his father somewhere else. You know, that's just where I go with that. You know, like none of this, it's all fascinating, but none of it really has been satisfying to me, you know? And yeah. That's why I love having these kind of conversations, getting other people's perspectives, because there's so little that I know, you know, and it, we may never know. Right. But it's something that obviously it's on all of our minds. You know? Well, yeah. On mine anyway.
Like if you were saying what you were saying about like a DMT release, and maybe that was his own explanation of what happened, you know, what happens, and that, you know, so be it, right? It, then it was,
I'm not trying to take it right. away. I'm saying that DMT absolutely. Is a huge connection to the spirit absolutely. Realm. You know,
absolutely.
Like when we dream, a little bit gets released, and when we die, it all is released, you know?
Right.
So there's a huge connection there, like the bridge to it, you know?
For
so
sure.
I wasn't saying that and trying to throw it away. It's
just, no, not at all. And I concur with you, because if that is an explanation for it, right, then the father really doesn't exist in that same exact space at the same exact time. But then does it really matter, right?
Right.
Because even if his father lived multiple lifetimes, just that one instance of how he knew his father was how he had to see him to recognize him at that particular lifetime.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
he wouldn't
have recognized him. So he had to see him in that form.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it, in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter if that his father also lived multiple lifetimes. He was in many lifetimes a different person.
True.
And could it be that we are some of those ancestors?
Yeah, right? I was thinking that too. Yeah,
I'm going to throw something different at you. What if, you know how they say time doesn't really exist? So what if all versions in consciousness of his father exist, but it just depends on where you're tuning your vibration to witness it?
Yeah.
Right. Sense. Yeah, because I do think that everything is frequency, energy and vibration. And, you know, when you break us down, I think that's what we are.
We're dumb,
but definitely. Light vibrating at a certain frequency to manifest matter.
Yeah. And something you said earlier, Austin, about like ether around us and like, where are our memories actually? Where really are they? I read the book by Eileen McCusick called Tuning the Human Biofield. And she basically breaks it down that like, all are like, all those types of things, like emotions and feelings and thoughts and memories, they exist in our etheric body and our etheric field. And that's why with the tuning fork, you know, she can clear a lot of trauma from, because just by passing it through your field, your body will recognize the resonance of the tuning fork, and then it'll begin to heal itself by matching that natural resonance. Because it's like a sounding board, and it's like, oh, oops, I'm not vibrating at that right frequency. I need to be there. Oh, oops, there I am. Let's go. Let's get.
I've seen them get rid of cancerous cells by doing that. The Rife machine.
Yes.
I believe Raymond Rife.
Yep. Not surprising.
This is a comedy show, YouTube. We're not giving medical advice.
You know, I was thinking about that. Everything is. Man, I want to go back to something you just said. Oh yeah, you were talking about we're passing on through our past relatives and things like that, right? Is that how you said it? Generations, past family lineage type thing, right? Like our souls will pass in through there. So I have a grandfather I never met. He died when he was like 30 something years old. I got a picture of him. I wish I had it on hand. I need to pull it out so I can have it prepared for this type of moment, because it's a picture from the 70s, and he's holding my mom when she's a baby. And we are identical. His hands holding the baby, and the way the hair on my hand grows, everything, we are identical. My lips, my smile, everything. And we found it years ago, before my mom passed, she was just getting sick. Me and my sister, we were all going through the photos, and I found one, and I showed it to my mom. And immediately she's like, "Oh yeah, it's you." And then she's like, "Wait a minute, that's my dad." And then, you know, she like complete shock how, you know, because her dad died very young. So she, it's hard for her to, I guess, remember him. Yeah. And when she's like, "Oh my God, you are my dad. Like in the flesh, you look just like him." Right.
Oh my gosh.
And it's kind of crazy, you know, because when you say that, I think that can happen, because I believe in generational curses, because I feel like I've broken many generational curses. Me and my wife, Kaylee, on her family side, mine, like we've changed the whole dynamic in our family, you know, history. And
yeah, it's amazing. I was going to commend you for that, but I'm glad you brought it up, because that's so true.
It is, man. It is. And that's it's crazy, because that's how I look at it. You know, it could be that simple. Like for all I know, my youngest could have the soul of my mom. You know, and it could just be Gideon now, you know, for all we know. And it just getting passed down and down, because I see so many similarities. Like I'm and now I'm picking up, you know, when you get old, you're like, God, am I just like my father? Or man, am I, you're picking up those things, whether it's a physical trait or some tick that you do, or maybe you've seen them do it throughout time. But whether it is, it's being passed down, so many things unconsciously, unknowingly being passed down to
feeling.
Yeah.
Even just a feeling of their soul.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting on that walk when I was by myself. I'm looking at the sky, I'm thinking of things. And I swear, I could have, call me crazy, but I felt my dad, you know? And it's like, it's beautiful, man. I just love it that, you know, and I feel like I'm resonating at a certain frequency to be able to appreciate these things and notice them. You know, a few years ago when I was completely wrapped up in the streets and all that drug use and all that stuff, like I never would have found that. It would have went right past me, right?
Right and, place, right time.
We all have to just
be receptive and ready for whatever.
And your vibration too, like you were saying, is different now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, you know, and it's like, you know, like the whole unresolved thing. It's like, you know, that guy who had that story about near-death experience and then having that connection with his dad in that realm before coming back, you know, a part of me is like, yo, let me get a piece of that, you know, let me talk to my mom one second, you know, because there is that thing where like, man, I wish I got cleaned up before they were gone, you know, because then you're stuck like beating yourself up about things and, you know, but everything happens for a reason. And, you know, and like my mom, she didn't say Jesus was her Lord and Savior. She didn't believe any of that stuff. Right. So depending who you talk to, they'll tell you a totally different thing where my mom would be at. Right.
Right.
No one really knows. And I would like to have this. That's why I like having this conversation with you guys. No one's going to get triggered over it. It can be very triggering.
Yeah.
I think people miss when I see people conversating and arguing about whether Jesus Christ is a real figure or not. I think both sides have completely lost the point and missed the message.
Yes.
You know, that you're totally out of sync and out of touch of what any of those messages even meant. You know, I don't care about who wrote it or all these things. You know, if it resonates with you, if it hits you, take it with you, you know?
Yeah. Brandon and I talk about that all the time. It's, you know, the two opposing views are usually the extremes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to find some happy medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see that even with flat earth and the globe model.
Absolutely. That's why Brandon likes to talk about the realm.
I love calling it the realm.
I'm glad that you say that, Sharon, about the realm, because there's something that's been brewing on my mind, and it'll take the conversation kind of a different direction, but I think we need to add it. And of course, I'm going to wear my allegedly hat. So speaking of Realm Earth, you know, I always talk about Realm Earth, and I believe on some level, and these are just words I'm putting to it, but we're some form of energy, and we came into this cross, like I like to look at the figure eight where it crosses, and that's, you know, it's an X or it's a cross, and think about the cross and how important that is in everyday life, right, for people. But I think what it represents is when the energy goes through some kind of period, we'll call it life, right, where it feels like it's having a physical experience, right? So from that point of view, I think there's a lot of people that have this blind spot, and I was definitely one of them, where for whatever reason, you know, we talk about blind spots where sometimes when you suffer some kind of trauma, there's something that you're doing that you just don't see that's wrong, or that you have this viewpoint, or you just can't, you know, like think about a born again Christian, you know, they can't think about what Lucifer could mean or whatever, you know, like, or an esoteric concept of like, right, you know, something like that. So it's, well, these blind spots that people have. And I feel like one of them is materialism, and it creeps into so many things. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not a materialist. And what that means is I feel like, you know, you could just zoom in, like you were saying before, we're all light, right? So you could zoom in onto your hand, and all you'll see is energy. You just keep going down. It's like allegedly molecules or whatever, but there's no solid stuff to point to. So what that leads me to believe is that we are just tricked into this whole experience. And the reason we're tricked into it is so we can have free will, because in this physical realm. So when I bring that element into the conversation, you know, when people will say, well, I'm having this experience, or it's like a spiritual experience, I'm like, no, I think this is all spiritual. That's the foundation. And then we're just feeling like it's all physical, and there's really all these things. So it just depends on what level.
The only thing we can feel with these limitations on this vehicle we're given, like when we stop vibrating, what happens? These vehicles disintegrate. They fall apart, decompose. Boom, we're no longer vibrating. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that, but
no, that's
I vibe with what you're saying, because I do think that there is you know, it does all lead back to one thing. I don't know what it is. And the whole idea of memory, like, that's what I'm saying. I was Austin. That was a name given to me. That's not who I am. That's just, you know, the label, right? You know, that's not my arm. It's not me. That's not inside of me and what I'm experiencing. And are you guys even real? You know what I'm saying? Is all this experience just within my own head? You know, like, how conscious are we of other things? And when you talk about people's emotions, I was driving back home from running errands today, and a lot of times I think about the power lines and all these poles and how much frequency that we're getting bombarded with, and everyone has a phone in their lap in their vehicle, right? And if we took that all away, if we could now just focus on each other's frequencies, you know, how much is being distracted and put in place. And then I think about, like, when I'm walking through Walmart, how many other people's emotions am I walking through right now? Like, as people are walking all next to me and I'm getting close to them, and then, you know, you can pick up on these vibes. I get this, that's what goes in my head when I'm thinking to myself, my crazy self, walking through these hallways, trying to keep track of my children at the same time, you know? And it's like, that's just where I go. How many people think like that? Or is that nonsense to think that way? Is that crazy? Does that make me crazy?
I think that,
no, not at all.
It could totally affect you. But there's also a level where it doesn't affect you at all. None of this.
I'm not saying it affects me, but I am aware of it. Like, I'm questioning, like, am I passing through these people's emotions right now?
Yeah, you very well could be, for sure. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
I think of the cyan and dye goggles. And is there a spectrum that we can't physically see with these eyes? We're only limited this much light spectrum. Absolutely. Is there a spectrum we're able to see these things and be aware of them, you know, put on some goggles, right? Some They Live goggles and get a better perspective of things without using words. You don't even need to communicate that way. If you're able to see, you know, the whole idea of talking, using our mouths to speak would be different. It would be a totally different life.
Yeah. Those who know don't talk.
Yeah.
No see talk, don't know. That's what's been said. We should probably talk about the Law of One stuff because I think this would fit going great here. What do you think, Sharon?
That's what I was thinking of going.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So restart. I'll just briefly say that why don't we say that the Law of One is something that Brandon and I've been looking into for several months, and it just resonated with us. You know, whether you think it is valid and true or it came from like a true source or whatever, it does to me, and probably to Brandon, it doesn't matter if it came from that or not. Like, does the message make sense? You know, does it resonate with you? Does it help you reframe the way you think about this realm and help you make sense of it in a better way?
Yeah, and I just want to also add really quickly, when we were talking about the source and if it could be valid and all that stuff, we're really looking at it as an allegorical idea. So we're not looking at it as a literal thing. You know, like people look at the Bible, some people look at a literal sense, some people don't. So we're not looking at it in a literal sense as everything they're saying is like totally true. We just use it as allegory. And that's why we're saying that the question, you know, if there's a questionable source, it doesn't really matter to us because we're looking at the allegory of what it is, you know. But anyway, proceed, Sharon.
Yeah. And what's funny is right before we started recording, we were kind of going into this discussion. We decided to save it for this podcast. but something that it made me think of was because we were saying something about, you know, the message versus the messenger. And it's funny because I just went to over the weekend, Cody and I went to this church. We went to a Black church because we want to hear the music and we wanted to, you know, have that experience. We both love that, you know, like gospel music and stuff like that. So yeah, we had a good time. But it's funny because the preacher actually talked about the message and the messenger, and basically the short of the long was like, don't shoot the messenger just because you don't like the message, you know. It's like, but anyway, I just thought that was funny. But anyway,
no, that's great, because why don't people usually like the message? Because it's true and they don't want to hear it. I mean, you know, there are charlatans and stuff, but we're just saying in this case. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And but it reminds me of, I guess that was for a different topic, because we were talking about another person who has a good channel, Jason Brashears of the RKX YouTube channel. And he has some very interesting discussions and topics that they're very, you know, they're polemic because of him, the messenger, you know. But and yeah, maybe he talks because about
no fear and no despair, which is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of derailing. But for the Law of One, what we think it helps us do is just reframe like what this realm could potentially be. Can't hear you, Austin. Did you mute yourself?
All right, my baby's knocking on the door. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were talking to me. But what the Law of One talks about, how this realm that we're in is essentially just one piece of a bigger picture. And the one piece is that we're in a 3D reality, which is the only time in our eons and eons of lifetimes that we live, the only time we get to experience free will and a veil of forgetfulness, which allows us to experience things, learn something, experience something else, learn from it, and ideally grow from it, right? You know, there's a lot of other pieces to it because, you know, you start off as 1D, 2D, et cetera. You could believe that or not. But what makes sense to me is that, like, yes, in this 3D realm, we experience a lot of things, right? And we do get to make choices based on those either decisions that we've made or things that have happened to us that we may think are not related to our karma, but potentially they could be. So anyway, it's just for us, for at least for me, it is a helpful way to frame the way this realm works. So I'll leave it to Brandon to maybe say something.
Thank you, Sharon. I love that. And I'd like to say that they're talking about consciousness, basically. When they say 1D, 2D, 3D, they're just talking about different levels of consciousness. And they call them densities instead of dimensions. So it's like 1D would be stones and rocks and solid objects. 2D would be plants and animals. And then 3D would be like our current iteration of consciousness, where we have the, you know, and if you look at it, a stone doesn't have free will, animal doesn't really have free will, you know, but a person does. And when I talk about free will, what I really mean is just the choice to feel, the choice to feel how you're going to feel about what something happens. You have the choice when something happens to you. Well, there's morals, but you have the choice. Like, so, you know, if something bad happens to
you, Fortune Germain says, we can experience this realm with joy or suffering. Or what is it?
Oh, we're here to learn lessons. We can learn them through joy or suffering.
Right.
Yeah. And what it means you could go outside and your car blows up and you could say, oh, what the fuck? Why me? Or you could say, cool, now I get to have a new car, or, you know, wow, what's going to happen now? You know,
glad I wasn't in it when it blew up.
Yeah. It's the gratitude. Right. And I really feel like that's the free will. That's the most important. That's really where it starts.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think, what we're here to learn. And if you think about it, that's probably one of the hardest lessons a person can learn. I know, because working on it myself, you know, in my situations and stuff in life, and just trying to battle things and like overcome stuff. And then when I started to become grateful for these challenges that I saw, that's the time when it really, you know, started to change things. It's crazy.
Resonate with that. I absolutely resonate with that, man. You know, you start questioning. I feel like I'm advancing in consciousness as well as I'm. I don't know. It's just so weird to explain sometimes. This whole idea of the law of one, it's fascinating to me, because with animal life, like the whole idea of like animals, that life eats life. Right. But then when it comes to humans, all of a sudden there's veganism and all these other things. So free will is absolutely a thing once it comes to us. And that resonated. The playlist you guys sent me on the Law of One, I only watched that first video, but they went over the 2D, 3D, 4D. And I was absolutely resonating with that right there. I vibe with that, because that's how I look at it, you know, and we do have free will within these bodies. My question is, what's after this? So what's the next, we're 4D, right? Or no, we're the 3D. So what's 4D?
Well, the whole thing that they're talking about, and they're trying to illustrate, is that we're consciousness, and we're going to keep experiencing this realm until our consciousness rises.
And right. Evolves,
so, yeah. There's different people on different levels, or you could say different souls or spirits or whatever on different levels. And they're just going to keep coming back, and they eventually rise. So right now there's people who are a little more spiritually elevated, and they're seeing a lot of these things that are going on. Right. And they're pointing.
Because it's all on a spectrum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all on different spectrums.
Like, so, but even at 3D, there are people who are vibing low on 3D.
Yeah.
And maybe being, you know, allegedly degenerate or whatever. And then there's people who are vibing higher,
right.
And, you know, so exactly. It's all on the spectrum.
And it's all levels of consciousness. So it just, it's really about like your worldview at the end of the day, right? It depends. I think that's how you can kind of elevate your consciousness, is to just open it up more. And, but what they explain also is there's two paths up. There's a light and a dark, a positive and a negative, right? And it's much harder to ascend polarizing to the negative degree, to the negative end.
You still can. You can choose to go negative.
You could choose to go negative, but you have to be up to like 95%. So you really have to elevate your consciousness very high. Like, so that's why I think that's what is there's like this probably one person in this realm right now who's like, you know, the Darth Vader or more like the Emperor. Maybe he has one apprentice, and then because of his consciousness, everything else, people just kind of played out like Bill Gates, you know, like a puppet, you know what I mean? They're just anyway.
Yeah, dude.
So I think that
it is like the Force.
Yeah, it's totally like the Force. But the good news is to polarize positive, you only have to polarize 50% or more. And then you go up to the next level. And so I feel like after you die, though, I still feel like there's a non-physical part. Like it's like the eight, I was talking about the figure eight, when you're going through the X, that's the physical part. And then you cycle back around and you're just in a different.
Like the ghost force.
Yeah, like you're in that realm, right? So
like when Luke Skywalker came back after he died, ghost in the ghost force.
No, that's just called garbage cinema. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's true.
But I feel like after we die, though, it's going to be similar to like after a video game kind of thing. And I'm not a simulation theory guy, but I think what that level of consciousness or that density or whatever the heck it is, I hate to use those words because I'm not trying to conflate it with the law one, but I think that part of awareness, we're going to be like, wake up and we're going to be like, oh, these people that are experiencing the physical, they're like in a game right now. And I think that's kind of how we're going to look at it. And we're going to realize that there's not really a separation between us like we do in this physical. So that's why that's what I would say to somebody who says that they're going to miss people, because I feel like when you get out of the physical, there is no missing. It's not that.
Well, that's cold, why. Right. Well, not that's that you're why cold-hearted, I say,
but you just like, know that they're always there. But go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I agree with that, because I don't think they'll be missing, because like I'm not going as Austin, you know, like Austin stays right here. It's on the next level. I'm not being. You know, so people thinking that they'll still be themselves, you know, like Egyptians, they all died and wanted all their riches to go with them. You know, they thought they were going to go with all of their riches. Right. We're not going. We're not even going with our memories. We're not even going with who we are. Like who this isn't who we are. It's
because of the veil of forgetfulness.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. 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 Right.
Every time we come back to 3D. Now there is you said, where do we go next? So the next and 4D, right? So 4D is the what they call the green ray, because the heart chakra is green and it's about love. And so 4D is all about, and Brandon can try to help me remember this because it's been several months since I looked at the material, but it's about showing, there's two paths, right? So at 3D, if you polarized positive, then you go on the path of selflessness, like you are in service to others. And if you go on the negative path, you are in service to self. So in the, and I can't remember, I don't think 4D is 4D still incarnation, Brandon? I can't remember.
No, I don't think it's anymore. A physical incarnation anymore. I believe it's not, but I think what I like to add to this is, it's just this, we're just a cycle of energy. So we're still in the same realm when we're at the fourth density. We're just at a different frequency, at a different density. So that's why physical beings can't see us. But I feel that's where the stories of angels come from, because maybe at some times they can see you, maybe they can make themselves visible. But I feel like it's mostly on the spiritual level where you're getting help from the universe. People would say things are going your way, but it's because you are polarizing to the positive, so therefore you're calling them. They have no free will choice. They have to come help you because they're all about service to others, right? Whereas the demons, you call them, the people who are going to the negative route, they get this help from people, the beings in the fourth density, because they want to make it all about themselves, so they use them to get their, you know, whatever,
to stay negative, to,
yeah,
stay
negative
in the negative polarization.
Yeah, exactly.
Because so if they are surrounded by love and light, if you show love and light to a negatively polarized being, it jumps them out of their negative polarity.
Yeah, they so they just go that. Away. They have to. They're like,
they have to go away.
Yeah. So when people talk about demon possession and all that stuff, you don't have to fight it like a, you know, they show you in the movies like the Exorcist and you fight it and all that stuff. You just show it love and light and it just is like, I'm out.
Yeah, because it can't handle that. Polarity.
I mean, I think if you're on the correct polarization or, you know, the correct frequency, it just
that won't even happen
away automatically. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. Can't even get near you.
It's just maybe people who are maybe in this lifetime, they chose to experience that feeling of what it was like.
I have a good experience of that. Like, I'll be having a conversation with somebody, say you're like at a get together with people or whatever, and it's a person who's trying to tell you all their woes, and then you just keep pointing out good stuff about it, you know, like you keep playing devil's advocate. They usually leave you alone.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Because they want somebody who's gonna feel bad for them, you know.
Yeah.
True. I have a negative Nancy at the job, and
negative Nancy.
I'm always able to contain that cancer off like in the corner, and I'll even like prepare others like how to just defend it or deflect it. Because this one person will come in and I don't want to be here, and then it spreads and everyone doesn't want to be there, you know, and it's like, man. So I always jump on it before I even know it's coming, you know, and I'll contain it. Like I put them in their own little bar in their hut by themselves. You just be miserable over there by yourself.
You should get paid extra for that.
I should. I do. I do get paid extra for it.
Good.
Boss.
Good.
Yeah, man. I'm digging this conversation. I really appreciate this. It's a good combo. Sorry, I got to keep muting in between.
Oh, no, you're fine.
My family's.
No, we're good.
I don't want to pick up.
Happen here, too. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well,
yeah, because it might take us somewhere else. So you go ahead.
Okay. So I was just going to say that 4D is just the next one. But then there are seven densities. So there's a 5D and a 6D and then a 7D. So the 5 and the 6 are when we've graduated from 4D, which I think allegedly Jesus was a 4D being or something like that when he came back.
He was a wanderer.
Because they can choose to come back. They can actually choose to come back to be in service to others. And that's what allegedly he did. But I don't remember which density they say he was from. But anyway, five and 6D.
Oh, how dare you.
That in 5 and 6D, we're spirit, like we're light beings, basically. So we don't have a material body in those densities. But even still, we are learning lessons in those alleged lifetimes. I don't know how that works, but we're light beings. And what I was going to say is that, okay, so Ra is this complex consciousness made up of all these positively polarized beings. And they share all their memories with each other, and they're in a pact to be in service to others. So whenever this realm needs help, and if somebody calls on them, they'll come. And it, you know, this particular one called itself Ra, like the sun god. There's a story behind that, but we won't go into detail. But I think that's how you have these beings that these, you know, sometimes people call them their spirit guides and things like that. I think that's probably what those kinds of things are, because they're in service to come help you whenever you need help, whenever you ask for help.
Yeah. And the other thing they speak about too, to add on to this, is that there's other versions of yourself that are higher up the realm,
your higher self, higher up
the density. They're like in that. So they're still part of you. So when you start to ascend, you're kind of even helping yourself, you know, like
it's your higher self helping your past self in the 3D. Since time allegedly doesn't really exist, but it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really fascinating stuff just to even contemplate.
It is. And I was going to ask something, but it might derail the topic a little bit.
That's fine.
It is about the realm, though, because when we're essentially all made of light. We're vibrating, we're resonating frequency.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I have some notes here. You know, because I always think about this place and, you know, the whole term flat earth, people get triggered with it. And, you know, I don't really believe what most, dude, there's a lot of flat earthers that say crazy stuff out there. And I just like the whole mellow dome realm, right? It's a realm. And, you know, like Hinduism, they use the word Om. And in Christianity, it was the word, right? And Egyptians believed that like earth was sung into creation. And then you got like the universe, one word. I think about this place like being created, and the idea of it being created, let's say in 7 days, isn't really that crazy when you look at how crystals are formed in like a liquid slurry, and you can see how fast they form. We can see how fast raindrops form into a snowflake, which is crystalline. Our bones are crystalline in nature, so we are the fractal of it all. We're the fractal of creation. And I feel like that story, you see that same story, like, you know, God said, let there be light, and that light is good, and all that. That's kind of the same story we get everywhere. Just a little twist on it. There's this, like the Aboriginal tribes, they believed, like there was three sacred songs that were sung that sang this place into existence. And I feel like we're on this gigantic crystal, you know, this huge crystalline structure, you know, whether it's manifested by something else. I do think this is a location, like a physical place, not something constructed in the minds. I think this is a physical place with physical bodies that just stay here. And maybe we ascend to another realm, but that idea, I do believe there is some kind of crystalline structure here going on. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on all that, because I always ask people on my streams, you know, we talk about who are we, what are we made of, but what is this place, you know, because I'm not trying to like get into the whole flat earth versus globe, but part of my journey was realizing that I no longer know where I live either, right? And so I like to speculate on a lot of that, and I try to get other people's ideas. I had a guy on, he considered himself a flat earther, but some of his ideas were so different. I never heard him before. And it was so fascinating to hear a different take on something instead of the many regurgitated same ideas that we hear throughout this place. So I think everything's crystalline in nature down to the basics. I think everything is like on a fractal. Nature, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I believe,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Law of One talks about that as well. It's like even every density is fractal. Like it has its own, like I said, it's on a spectrum, but it goes deeper and deeper, and each one has its own little, whatever, right, microcosm or whatever. But yeah. You talking about this creation stuff and like, it reminds me of some stuff I've heard, and it resonates with me. I don't know if it would resonate with other people, but I've heard that, that for example, like you hear energy doesn't go anywhere. It just gets recycled, right?
Yes.
So then how would there be a creation? Cause if something's created, then how do you create energy? Like right. Where did it come from? I think it was always just there.
Here.
Right. And like, I've heard of this concept of like, we are the creator, but we are also the created.
Yeah.
So that we are just constantly this energy that keeps learning and growing and learning from each other and, you know, experiencing all these things. It's like that concept that Brandon and I used to talk about before, but this like concept of like God, we are in the mind of God, you know what I'm saying? We're living in the mind of God,
yeah,
type of thing. So I have those kinds of thoughts when you're,
there's this story where I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but there's twins in their mother's womb. Right. And the twin is like talking to their brother and it's like, hey, I think, you know, talking about the creator and this place, right? It's like a representation of it, like, oh, mom is real, mom's everywhere, mom's all around us, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the brother's like, what? You're crazy, dude. Mom, where's mom? I don't see mom. Yeah. Yeah, mom's right here. Like, we're within mom. Mom is all around us, you know, and soon we're going to be able to meet mom and see mom, you know, and oh no, you're crazy. You're crazy. And then you get birthed out and it's a totally other world. Is that, you know, from the, could that be 2D to 3D? Like we're going into 3D and then 4D would be death out into whatever next canal we come out of. And it's like, oh yeah, God's all around you. God's everywhere. But like, well, I've never seen God before. Like,
right.
What are you talking about, bro? God ain't real. Oh yeah, Jesus is all around you. I've never seen him. You know, and it's like, I don't know, you know, whatever name you want to call it, I think it is here, you know, energy, right. Source, God, mm-hmm. Yah, Jesus, you know. I think everyone, it all tells the same story, you know.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. Kind of a blend of it all. But I was thinking that, like, oh, yeah, mom's real. It's just very fascinating.
Go ahead, Brennan.
I was going to say, it's funny that you talked about some of the belief systems that sang this experience or universe, whatever, into existence, because that's how it was done in the Silmarillion.
You were going to say that, Brennan?
By J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah, that's the creation story there. And if you think about it, what is sound? Sound is vibration. It's energy, yep. You know, so I think it's kind of an allegory to let us know that we're just energy, you know, and the physical isn't what we think it is, but it's fine if we do, because that's what we're here to learn. You know, that's why it's like yelling at flowers to bloom. Right. You know, we're not trying to wake people up and stuff. We're just having a nice, fun conversation.
Speaking of learning something, I learned something pretty fascinating recently. I've been looking into was, this fluid that is in the middle of our mind, like by the pineal gland, and it goes down our spine and then it ascends back up again. And in Greek, they called this fluid Christos.
Yes.
And it's very fascinating because there's so many analogies that people take these stories as literal. But if you go within internal, and it's like mind blowing gravy.
Dude, I was going to bring that up, but not in the way you did it, but you brought it up, the allegory of it all. It's not necessarily literal. Not saying right. that it never was literal, because who knows? Maybe in this realm, some of these, you know, mystical myths actually end up happening in real life. But but the way they were written was to
beautiful.
Explain the sky clock and our bodies, because mm-hmm. if you look at even I think the book of Revelations, I've heard multiple people talk about this. Even what's that guy, the Truman Show, the actor, what's his name?
Jim Carrey
even has like there's a clip of him talking about, you know, was it the Santa Claus and what Santa Claus?
Yeah, the claustrum, because this juice comes from the claustrum, mm-hmm. and that analogy of Santa Claus going down the chimney is the fluid from the claustrum going down your spine.
Right. So he's not the only one saying it. These come from descriptions of like what happens in the body, allegedly, right? And they are codified in scripture. They're codified in a writing so that people would know, but only the ones who were trained to read it esoterically knew, and maybe the masses didn't know. Who knows? I don't know how it worked. But essentially, this whole concept is called like astrotheology, sometimes also referenced as syncretism, when you can look at all these words and see how they're like even from different languages, how they're meaning. And if you change a vowel, it sounds different, but it really boils down to the same thing. It's just really fascinating stuff.
Baby was just yelling, so I had to stay muted for a second.
It's okay. have you heard of Dylan Sakosho's books, The Spirit World series?
No. Dylan Sakosho?
Yeah. Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, and then S-A-C-C-O-C-C-I-O, I believe.
Oh, that looks familiar, actually.
Yeah. Chance Garten, right? On Interverse podcast has had him on several times. They're pretty good buddies. But and Chance actually does the audio book on Audible for his third book and is working on his fourth book. But it these books, this the Four Spirit World series talk about this these concepts. So
you said Interverse podcast?
Yeah.
Right. I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can send you some links.
I just gotta write it down or I'll forget.
Yeah, no. And I can send you some links. I'll try to remember.
All right. I've heard that name before, Interverse Podcast. I need to go check it out. Always looking for new gravy.
Yes. And he's got all kinds. But yeah. Any other topics, thoughts?
Yeah. So have we swayed your mind at all in this whole, or where are you at now with this? We did talk about this a little last time we podcasted.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to throw my eggs in all one basket right now. I was thinking the other day that, I was thinking, am I going to come to terms with certain things before I die? Am I going to be able to do that before I die? Will I ever be satisfied with some answers, you know, before I sit down? It's like, all right, you know, these are my last days. Let me be satisfied, right? And to me, it's just I'm still on this path of unlearning and relearning. And like when I was a child and you're being told about Jesus and, you know, when I was getting into scriptures, my parents weren't into it. They laughed at me for it, right? They didn't. They're like, oh, yeah, all that's controlled stuff. You know, that's what they told me. And then going through that whole journey and everything and then coming out. I mean, it's such a whole story. If you guys, if you haven't checked out my channel, Mellow Dome on YouTube, go check it out. I get into all kinds of my previous past and to where I am today. And we get into all kinds of topics. But my whole journey that led me to where I am now, I got to keep looking, you know, I got to keep looking at stuff. I want to keep diving into it. I don't know much about it. Like I said, I want to hit that playlist. And if there's any other information you guys have on that, send that to me. Send me all that Law of One stuff you got. And I feel like I'm not, am I mixing it up with like Hindu, the Hindu idea of the afterlife? I just don't want to mix it all up. Like in like where does the Law of One originate from?
Oh, so the Law of One is channeled work that these people channeled allegedly in the 1980s. So it's a little newer and they channeled.
So it's just from that Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is just one time.
Well, it was over.
It happened over several months, years.
Yeah. And they wrote a book about it all.
My thing is, my main idea, what I keep coming to a conclusion is that no matter what happens after this, the idea is to live your best life right now, right? Because a few years ago, I was living a hell that I created for myself. I can put blame on other things. I can put blame on the establishment. I can put blame on, you know, certain high figures flooding the streets with drugs. I can put blame on everything, but it was me that created my own living hell.
With your choices that you made.
With my choices due to my free will.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my free will. And I don't know, maybe some divine help based off me being some conscious being. I don't know, because I battled with myself even through my addictions, like fighting with myself in the mirror, the man in the mirror, like, oh, I'm better than this. I'm so much better than all that. It was such a nightmare, right? But to get out of that and then creating my heaven on earth, I got out of the trenches with my wife. There's a very small percentage of people who can do that, you know, shout out to legends who can, you know, and like what I want to say is you create the life you live right now. You don't have to live some good life and then hope you live for eternal heaven on, you know, on some new earth, right? In the afterlife, you can do it right here, right now. And it might sound cheesy, but I'm doing it right now. And I just want to live in the present. Like, I shared something in my Telegram group today about, you know, a lot of people, they, they focus on the past too much, or no one's ever living really in the present. And I'm trying to focus on living in the present. You know, I took the time out. I take certain time out to think about things, but when it comes to my family, we're homeschooling. We're very engaged with our family and what we do together. Me and my wife's relationship has never been better. I have a great bonding experiences and relationship with my children. And even my job, because this podcasting thing isn't, it's not my job. It is my passion, but I do have a job. I still have a 9-to-5, like most people I got to go and do. But fortunately, I've been able to create a great work experience and a work environment as well. And helping employees wake up. Like, it's becoming a beautiful thing. I'm creating a beautiful thing here. So you can, you know, you can do it right now. It's not about, I think that whole thing is, you know, live a good life. You can go to heaven. I think that's kind of a psyop.
Absolutely. I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Yeah.
Psyop, man. I'm not here for that. I'm here to do it now.
It makes you forget about living in the present moment and being grateful for what you have now. Mm-hmm. But something else you said reminded me of this concept too, of like, you know, you're going through these moments of like finding different perspectives and gathering them all into your mind to like decide what makes sense to you. I went through a lot of that, and, you know, I'm still going through it in some ways, but I feel like I kind of grasp, I have a better picture. But in the grand scheme of things, Brandon, I say this, in the grand scheme of things, there are some things that we're not going to know. And then we also have to be okay with that. Like, before we leave this particular incarnation, we don't necessarily have to know everything. And another thing that you were saying about
some things we're not even meant to know or can't even comprehend it if we were told.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about accepting the mystery. I'm so glad you brought that up, Sharon, because I was going to bring that up, but you did.
Yeah, the mystery. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. And then something else you said, and I don't know if you've heard this concept before, but of like, and it could be true, it could not be not true, but it helps reframe things for me. So potentially, what if, could it be that before you entered this incarnation, you made some soul contracts with some other people that are currently in your life or have been in your life from the beginning all the way to the end. And they were there to say, look, I'm going to be this person for you. I'm going to be the adversary in this particular point of your life. That's what I'm going to do for you. And you're going to do this for me. You know, whatever it was, it could be something allegedly negative or bad. Somebody could beat you up. Somebody could, you know, put a knife in you. But like, it's something that you can say, well, look, if I reframe it in the sense of like, I made agreements that this was going to happen, then you can have compassion, right? You don't have to look at that person like, oh, he's evil or he's this or he's that. Because in the grand scheme of things, if we believe, right? If we believe that we're all part of the creator, right? Because if, like Brandon says, if God created all things and he created them perfect, then we're all perfect, right? So how can you agree? How can you disagree with that, right? So basically they're your soul brother or your soul sister or whatever, right? They're, you can't look at them in such a hateful way. You can't hate them because you both agreed that this was going to happen in this lifetime for you to learn and grow from it, mm-hmm. right? So all things that happen to you, whether they be, you know, looked at as negative or bad or, you know, things that happened to you in your childhood that you couldn't have like run away from or whatever.
Yeah.
All those things were meant to happen because you already agreed upon that.
Right.
Could it be, you know?
Yeah, very well could be. I think everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely. Know? I do too.
You can't have the light without the dark either.
Exactly.
I got a wise friend, Thunder Chicken. He told me, I'm going to butcher it, but he told me it's like a plant, like a tree, you know, you got roots that dig and that grow deep into the ground. They've never seen light. They've never seen the light of day. right? And you can't have a really nice big tree without nice deep roots. So without, you can't have light without dark, you know, you can't have the light without the darkness, right?
So. Nice. Yeah. Really good analogy.
Yeah, I feel like
the way he said it was way more grand.
Eloquent.
Yes. Beautiful the way he said
it's kind of like the whole idea behind the law one, because they talk about the negative and the positive splitting up and then coming back together. Mm-hmm. So it's that same kind of idea. It's not about dark or light. It's just about
to the singularity.
Yeah.
Source.
Yeah. Yeah, because what Brandon didn't
it's mention, all duality here.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, because what Brennan didn't mention is that even those beings that choose the negative path all the way on up, they could be fifth dimension beings, or sorry, density beings, sixth density beings. But by seventh density, everything always polarizes back to the positive. It always goes back positive. And then it starts all over again. Back to 1D, you know?
It's like a battery. Maybe the Matrix is real.
Like a freaking battery. This place is a battery too. This definitely works like a battery. You got the salt water. The salt blocks the land. Got the positive, negative, sun and the moon. It's all one big battery.
Yeah, people's behavior, the way it could be harvested, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
Straight Matrix.
Yeah, because if you know, people are traumatized and they're willing to live like slaves, even debt slaves, you know, whatever it is, you could control them because of that, you know. It's so insane. I wonder if that's why a lot of people think we're in some kind of you know,
simulation.
Yeah, like a slave simulation or something, because the way they're out, you know, the way that they look on the world, as far right. as especially as far as the behavior of most people, because they do exhibit a lot of people do exhibit slave behavior in our culture.
Yeah.
Did we talk about simulation last time, Brandon?
We might.
I don't want to repeat myself, but I feel like I'm about to.
Go. Adam cares.
So when
you're
it comes
on the Oversharing show.
All right, cool. So when it comes to simulation theory, like the idea. So when I think of simulation, of course, people are just using that term, right? It's probably the worst term to use for the idea, but I get it, right? But with simulation,
it's allegory, just like everything else.
Right. Like if, okay, so here, you know, if we were to create a world, like a video game or some place, people usually make it some fantastical place. It's either like is equal to this one or some fantastical place. Right. So if we're going to apply that to, you know, this being created and it's some like simulation that's within the real world, right? Then if you apply that same concept, then maybe the real world isn't as good as this simulation, because when you create, when people here in this realm create a simulation, they're always creating a simulation that is fantastical and better and, you know, more grand. And you know, so if we were to apply that, you know, maybe it's wrong thinking that way, but then, you know, we apply it to that concept and maybe the real world that's outside of the simulation is a shithole, you know,
yeah,
like the Matrix, like the Matrix.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that, and that's funny. That's something funny to bring up with simulation theory people too. You know, you could be like, what's your worldview looking like right now?
Though that's why I think I forgot who said that one day, but it resonated with me, because you know, we are co-creators, everyone's creating all these worlds. You got these fantastical worlds, you got you know, all these video games being created. If we apply that, you know, logically, I would think that maybe the real world isn't as good as this simulated world. That's why I don't buy into the whole idea of simulation, because a lot of people do take it to that extent that it's like some board game here for us. I think it, that kind of takes away the responsibility. And that's kind of like saying to me, that's the same as us saying like, oh, you can say 30 Hail Marys, go to church every Sunday and, you know, say I repent and I'm good. Now I can go to the club next week and do all this terrible things to people and do whatever I want because I'm a Christian and I you know, did 30 Hail Marys and
once saved, stuff. Always saved.
Yeah, right. I can do whatever I want, you know.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, you know, reminds me of the allegory we talk about this all the time about a bunch of men in a dark room feeling an elephant. You know, if you're a pervert and you think about sex all the time, if you grab the trunk, you're going to think you grabbed the dick. And if you, you know, if you're somebody who's not like that and you're just, you might grab the dick and think it's the trunk. You know what I mean? So I think that's what's going on here with the simulation theory. It's where's your head at? You know, that's really
very true. Very, very, very good point.
You when, pervert. Yeah,
where's your head
dicks?
At where you're when you're describing the realm, right?
What's that?
I said, where's your head at when you're describing the realm?
Yeah, we're at one level, people are describing the same exact thing, you know. Yeah. And then I think ball earth people just let the description be made for them instead of making it themselves. That's all it is. We see that a lot though.
They parrot what someone else says about the realm.
Yeah.
I did another stream. I don't know if you guys caught it. I did a stream titled Life After Death with Bob Nodell from Globusters my friend Walt from Iron Realm Media. And we talked about the Skynet. Have you guys heard of the Skynet?
I think I've seen some of that, but I think I watched part of that or most of it. Yeah, go ahead though, talk about it.
And they were talking about how the Sky Grid, the Skynet, there's supposedly some footage. Some people have caught like footage of this like grid pattern in the sky. And when people, there's a lot of reports when people take like mushrooms and things like that, psychedelics, that they also experience a grid pattern in the sky.
Okay.
And there are stories that this, I'll send you links to it. I'll send you a link to the Life After Death stream I did too. And it's basically, that is the veil of forgetfulness that our soul will pass through. And that's basically the veil right there, is this grid system that is in the sky. And it's pretty fascinating. It was put in place there. Like it's a trick, you know, like the whole idea of going to the light. Supposedly if you don't go to the light and you stay like focused on trying to ascend, then you can pass that trick, because that's just a trick to get filtered back in here. You're going to pass through that veil of forgetfulness and get filtered back in. But if you, you know, focus on your ascension, you can get past that and keep ascending and going to your desired, I guess, realm, or I don't know what you would call it. But yeah. It was very fascinating.
I feel like someone talked about that. Was it like Fortune Saint Germain or something, Brandon?
Yeah.
That said something like that. Like, don't go toward the light. Just like, don't have fear, basically. Don't have fear, because allegedly you're in the dark, right? So when you see the light, you're like, oh, I want to go to the light. So don't fear where you're at, and then you can go wherever you want. That's
Saint Germain is pure gravy.
Maybe that's the trick of getting to the next level of consciousness, is to get to the point where after you live an entire life and die, you have no fear and you're able to not go toward the light. Because think about, the most comforting thing would be the light. And if you're afraid or you're scared, whatever it is, you're going to head toward it. But what if your whole life, or even the lifetimes before, are just an exercise for you to not have fear in that moment? So then you could choose to, whatever, turn around or whatever the heck it is. Or he also said you could call for like Buddha or Christ or whoever it is, and that person will appear. But it could just be another physical or another manifestation of a different density, you know, like coming to help you and pull you through and show you the right way. And there's something like that in Hindu texts too. They say when you die, you have to like exit through your head, you know, but that could also be all metaphor, you know, like similar concept. But anyway, go ahead. What are you gonna say?
Me?
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna say something.
I forgot.
How dare you? Yeah, so that would be crazy if that's all it was. Not that's all it was, but still, you can't fear death, and then you can't have any fear after death, and you're just like, all right, now what? And then you, because think about all the stuff that causes your fears, your insecurities, because of all the stuff that happened to you, the trauma, what we were talking about earlier with the whole generational trauma, you know? So maybe that is the trick to ascending to the next level.
Yeah, you gotta let go of all that.
Could be. Yeah.
And see, letting go is like when you're materialistic, you don't want to let go, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the materialism topic again.
Yeah, maybe it's all about overcoming materialism.
Yeah. Could it
true?
Be?
I think we're all in the same room feeling the elephant. I have the tail though, you fucking pervert. Sorry.
That's funny. No, that's true, man, because that is the attachment of this realm and everything that happens here within it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just gotta let go of that. You know, because you are about to head on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe you come back if you
have. And that's yeah, and that, I think that's it's faster again than where
I think it's really fast. Like outside of this experience, it's probably like 30 seconds. We just experience it as like 100 years, you know.
Kind of like when we're dreaming, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That DMT release again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's that's I just lost my train of thought.
I was gonna say something.
Oh man.
Well, we could use this experience to do a commercial. And I'd like to thank everybody, because if you run this on your channel, I'd like to thank everyone that's watching from the Melodome. We got a bunch of listeners last time we all did a collaboration. So I'd like to give a shout out to, let's see, who's there? 7-Eleven Lucas, Robo Honky, and yeah, Robo Honky's hilarious. And who'd you mention earlier? Because he also watches the show. I've seen occasionally he's in the chat. You gave a shout out to somebody earlier.
Lord, I already forgot.
No,
it's someone I work with.
I'll remember.
Bob, Walt, everyone, anyone in the mellow ship. Yeah, I would love to share this on my channel if
Grounded
you guys don't mind.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
James Grounded from Grounded Extracts, sure. James and Naja. They are crushing.
Yeah, we got to get them on the show soon.
Mike LaBrash, Chris Vick, all kinds of people. Bunch of legendary people.
Awesome.
James has had another episode on Crow Drop.
Oh, yes. I remember. I heard that. I haven't heard it, the episode
it was good.
Yet, but
it was really good.
Ooh, send it to me, Sharon.
Yeah. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I remembered something I was going to say about, because I think Brandon was talking about coming back, like every time we come, like if we have to learn lessons or whatever, then we haven't gotten to the point where we go to the next, you know, density, we come back, right? But there was this other concept that in the Law of One called harvest, that when a majority of the people in the realm are polarized positive, then there's what that's called a harvest. And so they get harvested to the next density. And then those, there are still going to be people. So and then the ones that are polarized 95% negative or more, they also polarize, they also get harvested. But the ones in the center that didn't polarize enough positive or enough negative, they'll have to continue on to keep going into 3D.
And I think that lines up with a lot of the stuff that Jason from Archaics talks about with these Phoenix cycles and stuff, because if you look into it deep, a lot of the things he says about how like whole populations have disappeared and then reappeared and like, all, you know, in the record
right?
and stuff.
Right. Doesn't that line up with the Law of One? I feel like it does.
Phoenix cycles.
What's that?
What's the Phoenix cycles?
The Phoenix events or the
Phoenix it's every phenomenon. 138 years or some kind of something happens. It could just like be localized. Reset. Sometimes it's like a small area, a couple towns, and sometimes it's been like realm wide, you know, like the flood or whatever. But it also explains different things he's been talking about. What else was I going to say about that? But yeah, I mean, who knows, right?
There's the rapture.
Yeah, think about like the rapture, right? That might just be one way to explain it. Maybe
the harvest, right?
Yeah, maybe it happens more than once and people just get sucked up to the next level. I mean, who knows, right?
I mean, that could explain, I mean, they always say the good ones go, good ones die young.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing. And if you think about a civilization like Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, that's just too far gone. Maybe that's why the reset comes in and puts all the people back at square one and then takes out some people like Saul, you know, but his wife.
You can see a lot of past, like you can see Saul. There's a lot of evidence of past catastrophes throughout this realm. You can see that. I mean, Grand Canyon. Well, what was that? That's not done by just water. Like not if you ask me, I think that looks like some plasma event, you know?
Right. You. Right.
Yeah. So there's something. I do think that there's all kinds of things that have happened out here. So I definitely resonate with that.
Yeah, totally. And I think the key is, I should have said Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Like he was saved, but his wife had attachments. So she looked back. It's the same kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like she couldn't let go.
Materialism.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So she got sucked back in. And then, you know, Lot got to go to the next level or whatever.
And these are all allegory too. I mean, could it be that they're both allegory and they manifest in real life?
Yeah, I couldn't see why not. Just asking questions here, everybody.
Exactly. Good stuff. How you doing over there, Austin? Awesome, good. Austin.
I'm good. I'm enjoying this. I had a... I was just going to say something, but damn, I lost it, dude. I do want to mention that, you know, if you guys don't mind, I'll plug my website, mellowdome.live. Guys, best way to support the show, you can get a Mellowdome t-shirt, like what Morpheus got right here. My wife runs the merch store here at the house. I like to say that because a lot of people use like third-party companies and stuff like that. And I think it's says something that we actually, you know, run the merch store here at, you know, at the house. She gets the shirts and all that stuff and prints and presses and ships them all from here. So that is the best way if That's you awesome. Do want to support. So, and also the Oversharing Show, you guys are awesome. I really enjoy these conversations. I think the last one was just me and Brandon though. Right.
Yep.
And you guys are awesome. You guys definitely need way more subs than what you have right now. This isn't right.
Oh, okay. Don't
We're
worry.
We're a niche crowd.
Yeah.
When you drop this. Crowd. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the best crowd, though.
We're slowly blowing up. It's like a slow explosion. It's a slow explosion. I don't know. That didn't make sense. And
when this drops, I need the link. When are you planning on dropping this?
Thursday.
Are we live?
Yeah.
No. We're not live, right?
We're live, okay. Man. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
A couple days.
All right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Thursday night.
Yeah. We'll
right.
So you could pop.
Yeah. I'm counting money when you guys are on. I'm always, it's either you. Or Mike later on when I get home. But I'm always listening in the office counting money.
Nice.
Listening to you guys Thursday nights.
Sweet.
Because that's right in the time while I'm in the office.
Oh, that's perfect.
Running all the machines in there. And I'm to myself. I close the door so no one can hear anybody in case you guys offend a normie or something. You know?
It happens.
I don't have headphones in there. I just got the phone on the table.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
We're diplomatic, you know, as much as we can be.
Yeah, we might say something, though. We might slip up, but synchronicity abound. Shout out to our chat, too. Every Thursday night, we drop these around 8:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're usually hanging out in the chat. So big shout out to the chat. I might have missed the beginning of this because I have a gig this Thursday, but I'm going to probably leave early. So I'll still be on my phone a little bit. But thank you guys for hanging out. I love it. Oh, dude, it's 4:20 right now.
Nice. Hey, nice. I got somewhere. A little bit of this joint left.
Put it in the air. I don't think I have any down here. How'd I do?
We got a new intro coming out soon for the Awake and Bake. We got, we're doing a bunch of different things. I like this call-in show I've been doing. I really enjoy that because I really like getting other people's perspectives. I like these kind of, basically the same conversations that we have is what I've been having on the Critical Thinking Smoke Sesh. They've been really fun. I show a few things to kind of like set the tone, and then I drop the link for people to come on, and it sparks some really good conversations, you know. And
sweet,
that's what I like. Yeah, I like doing that, you know. This kind of stuff is stimulating for
me. Absolutely.
I look forward to these kind of things. Like I was looking forward to this conversation with you guys. I was even listening to some Crow this morning, like trying to like get in the mood, you know, like, oh yeah, let me stimulate the mind a little bit before I get in this conversation with these guys, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
I was looking forward to it too. It's been good.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say something. Now I forgot because you were funny. That was hilarious. Have you done the Breaking the Chains recently?
I have not, but I was thinking of doing one, and the reason I haven't done one is because I've done 7 and I was only doing them when someone reached out and wanted to have that conversation, you know, because it's like asking someone, hey, you want to come on and talk about your drug use, your past drug use? Like, you know, everyone will say no. Right. But I haven't had anybody like, I've had some people reaching out, of course, but instead of, highlighting someone again, I might just share my story because I haven't shared it in a while. And then after I share it, I'll drop the link if anyone wants to come on. Because I do think that is important. It's basically how all this started. You know, I was getting clean. I came across certain truths. Yeah, I'm wanting to tell the world about it. and like, look what me and my wife have done, you know, and try to share that story, get that feel good out there. Try to inspire people, you know? So, I've done 7 Breaking the Chains. One of them, the last one I did was honestly the best one. We had, Mark Rizzo on, a good friend of ours, met him at Flattoberfest, and he's doing great. He was down the road of some hardcore drugs and then Suboxone, through some help, he was able to get clean. This will be 4 years for me and my wife, January. January will be 4 years.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. From all pharmaceutical pills, heroin, and meth. That was our choice. Basically anything put in front of us. But now, 4 years, January. Crushing it, life.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome, dude.
Great job.
That's crazy. Right before the world lost its mind, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me correct myself. It was pills, heroin, meth, and then methadone. Mm. Then had to get off the methadone. And all that happened literally right before the world hit, like when shit hit the fan. Yes, you're right. It was like perfect timing. That's what I'm saying. Everything happens for a reason, dude. There is a reason I was put through those, like the pits of hell at that time, and then getting taken out right when this whole agenda goes down. It's almost like it's, was supposed to be this way. It's so crazy, it just feels right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed to just be in this position and still able to keep my family together. You know, I was on the verge of losing my firstborn. We had one child at the time, because we've been together 13 years, so quite a journey. And you know, we need that, and we also need to show that dynamic, the family dynamic, because there's so many families getting torn apart. I know she's never really on screen, but I bring her up a lot. I highlight what we do with the children. We homeschool the children. We've created our own curriculum. We're only like 2.5 years in homeschooling, so we're still learning. And at times it can be overwhelming, but you know, we wouldn't trade it for the world. This is how we want it. This is how I think the world used to be. You know, it was the parents' responsibility to mm-hmm. teach their children, right?
Yep.
I mean, the idea of me sending them somewhere else to somebody that I don't even know is just insane to me now. So, and that's not, I'm not trying to like make anybody feel some type of way. You know, I know everyone has to work. I'm fortunate enough to where my wife can stay home and do all this. So that's what I'm saying. I'm just very grateful. And I'm in a position where I can share my story. I want to do it. You know, I'll run my mouth. I'll keep talking until someone tells me to shut up, you know?
No, I think it's great. It brings us back to the original quote that I said in the beginning about like, why this? Well, we got to do this to be there, that to do that, you know?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's great. And I like to tell you that I would love to do that show with you sometime. So when you're doing it again, let me know, or if you want to schedule one.
Bro, okay. You can do it for sure. I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
I would love that.
It gets real
on there sometimes. Like if anyway, the audience listening now, if guys have never caught the series of Breaking the Chains, it does get real sometimes. I've cried. I've had guests cry. But everyone who walks away from that, they feel lighter. All the guests who came on, they've walked away and like called me and said, oh, I feel so much better talking with you. And then the support they got from the chat and the audience and the Breaking the Chains community, the Mellowship, because there is a lot of people, you know, this, the pharmaceutical industry has their claws in everyone, right? So it's not, you know, a lot of people, they hide their demons and their struggles, right? And I salute the ones that face them and break those chains, you know, because that's what it's all about. That's the biggest, that's, you want to talk about pandemics, boy, I go run the streets and go see all the junkies living on the streets. Like that's a real one right there. So,
yeah. Yeah, mine is a little different. It's because it was,
I remember, like
sexual proclivities and you know, like man,
I would love to talk stuff about that.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm just saying, so there'll probably be more tears of laughter than, you know, but
it was no, still... but that good. We've had people came on. I mean, I smoked pot on Awake and Baked and the Critical Thing You Smoke Sesh, but on the Breaking Chains, I had someone come on who was addicted, who found themselves addicted to cannabis and had to step away from it. So, you know, there's many different forms, right?
Yeah. It's about,
we're bound by many chains in this material realm. Yes.
It's what you choose. Yeah. It's basically your choice of escapism is going to be different than someone else's. I mean, sometimes they're the same, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
It was escapism though. You know, it absolutely was.
It always is.
And I say this, I've said this on my stream quite a few times, and it's like, I spent a good 8 years running, escaping reality, what I thought to be reality. And then you turn around, you know, you're like, all right, I'm gonna turn around and face it. And once you do, the creator's like, yo, let me lift the veil for you, homie. You know, the reality you was running from ain't even real. Let me show you. You turn it around and face it right now. So let me show you some truths. And that's what's been happening these past few years. And yeah, that's all it's been for me.
That's amazing journey. All absolutely. Right. Well, I think we could wrap it up there. It's been about an hour 45, I think, something like that. So yeah, that was fucking, you know what happened? I think we just got everything we wanted to say in so fast. Like in the beginning, we were just like shotgun style. This is going to be a great episode though.
It was. Yeah, this is great, man.
Yeah, it's jam packed.
What's that?
Yeah. It's jam packed.
Yeah, it was jam packed. You're gonna have to watch this one twice, people. Maybe five times.
Let's do another one. Let's have you guys on mine now. Let's just go back and forth again.
Yeah, know? Let me know, man. I'm totally down. I could talk all about right. things for days. Yeah, write on your little pad. Write it down on your pad.
It's useful, man. It's like, this is a new one. The other one, I got two other ones. I'm 2 years into doing the Melodome thing, and this is my third little book. Oh, nice. I need the book, man. I'm lost on my streams, especially when I'm by myself after like halfway through a joint. The notes.
I know. I saw you reading from earlier. That's a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is a good idea. It's a good idea.
Sharon's
the problem is hiding. Like, I gotta go find my pen. You know, my son. He'll like steal my pens. Yeah. And then I find like little pen drawings on the wall. I'm like, oh, here he was. This is where he was.
Look at this little artist at work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some artists. That's for sure.
I used to draw on the walls too. Oh, man. That's great. All right. Well, I guess we'll tell people where they could find us. You can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com and click on the Oversharing tab. We're here on YouTube at the Brandon Bonanza channel. And we're also on Podbean, which puts us on all the famous podcatchers or podcast providers. So check us out there, Oversharing. And we premiere this every Thursday, 8:33 p.m. And we hang out in the chat. So come and hang out with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Appreciate
it. Man. Anytime. Thanks for coming
Thank
on.
Thank you so much.
All right. What do we say to the good people, Sharon?
If you're not Oversharing,
then you're a stupid Karen. I think that was the alternate one we were going to do, was something like that.
I know. I wish I remember what it was. I tried to write it down.
Yes, yeah, so that's you should a good have one. If you're not Oversharing, then you're a stupid Karen. So don't do that and watch the show. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Later.
Wait.
Yeah.
Did you stop it?
No.
Okay. I found it. Do you want to remember? You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Once you start Oversharing, you totally stop Karen.
You totally stop Karen. Exactly. There it is. Once you start Oversharing,
You totally stop, Karen.
That's right. Or maybe you should say the first part because you always say over Sharon.
Yeah. Okay. So once you start over Sharon.
What do we say to the good people, Sharon?
Once you start over Sharon.
Then you totally stop, Karen.
That's right.
All right. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.